This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. And now you can try a bottle yourself, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here we are once again. It is time for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. Your questions come to us via radio program at AOL.com. With me is Layla Mutin. She is our nutritionist in residence, registered dietitian, has a master's degree in the field of nutrition, capably assisting me in answering your questions. Hi, Layla.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So we got a lot of questions. Excuse me. But before we do that, I'd like to launch into a little bit of a tirade about the latest example of double standard in the field of nutrition. You know, we talked about fish oil and the vast disparity between the price of Vascepa, which is a prescription fish oil, and normal over-the-counter fish oil. I did a video on that subject, which some of you may have seen on Facebook. Now comes an even greater disparity between something's available on the shelves of a health food store and something which is made by the pharmaceutical industry. The medication in question is Endari.
Endari.
Where do they get those names? I'm not sure. It is a medication that is the first new medication for sickle cell anemia in, at least 30 years.
Wow.
Sickle cell anemia is a condition that afflicts virtually solely African Americans, because it's a genetic condition. It was thought to be an adaptation to malaria, that you actually carry the gene. But when you get a double hit on the gene, you have painful sickling crises where literally under the microscope, your red blood cells, which are little round cells, sickle. They actually have sort of crescent moon appearance.
Yeah.
And as a result, they stick and they cause the blood to stop flowing. And these crises are excruciatingly painful, and virtually all patients with sickle cell anemia require opioids. So, you know, imagine the specter of a black patient coming in who's hooked on opioids in an inner city hospital, and you get the picture because it's already a stigma associated with heroin addiction and opioid addiction. And I treated these patients, and they were in terrible suffering during my residency training and my medical school training, because I trained in the South Bronx, where they had a lot of patients with sickle cell anemia. So the current treatment is something called urea, which is actually what's in urine.
Urea.
Urea has a suppressive effect on this condition. It's not very effective. It may be like a 20% effect on this condition. So patients take it. It's a very inexpensive medication. It's been around for ages. They've come up with a new medication. A year's worth of Endari will cost about $40,515.
That's somebody's salary.
Compared with about $1,700 for hydroxyurea. So, you know, in addition to the fact that it is an astronomical amount of money for a condition that mostly affects lower-income individuals, not exclusively, but, you know, this is because of the diminished earning power of somebody with sickle cell anemia, it's doubtful that they're going to have lots and lots of money. In addition, they're often minorities from the inner city. So what's interesting about Endari is Endari is something that's very familiar to us. It's L-glutamine. And it is provided in packet form.
Patented form, apparently.
Patented and packeted packet form. A 5-gram packet is available for a retail cost of $19.95. That's one teaspoon of L-glutamine. And I checked prices on L-glutamine. For a kilo of L-glutamine, it's 1,000 grams. That costs about $30 and change at a health food store or on Amazon. The self-same chemical And so imagine that that gives you about a 50-day supply at the recommended dosage.
Mm-hmm.
The same product, Andari, per month supply, is about $2,200.
That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
And it's all glutamine.
So what this illustrates is that these pharmaceutical companies, look, kudos to them, they do the research and they mm-hmm. want to protect their investment.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can set the price.
Yep.
Whatever, you know, they have a patent.
Yeah.
It's exclusive. It's a use patent. So they didn't invent L-glutamine. L-glutamine is a natural compound. It's been around forever. But as a result, they have a monopoly on selling this. And oh, by the way, the insurance companies aren't going to go, hey, come on, this is ridiculous. Let's just buy it from one of the health food companies. They're going to buy it from the drug manufacturer. And who pays the penalty? Well, the poor patient can't afford it.
Right.
They do have what's called a patient assistance program,
which
is how generous of them that they're going to throw you a bone and they're going to help you buy it.
Uh-huh.
But you got to be sure that the insurance companies kicking in a big chunk of that. Medicaid,
because
many of these patients are Medicaid, Medicare, and private insurers are going to pay for it.
And all the premiums are being hiked on all three.
Yep, yep.
All of them.
And so, your recommendation to, I mean, it just is mind-boggling.
It is. It really, really is. So this has been tried, and is this on the market at this point?
Yes, it's on the market.
Wow.
And
wow.
So it's not a cure for sickle cell anemia, but it's interesting because L-glutamine is a potent compound. We know it's a precursor to glutathione in that it's one of the, glutathione is a tripeptide consisting of three amino acids, glutamine.
Yes.
And?
Wait.
Put you on the spot here.
Aspergine?
Cysteine and glycine.
Cysteine and glycine.
Okay, so three amino acids. So if you take any of those, it's a precursor. N-acetylcysteine is also a precursor to glutathione.
Yeah.
So theoretically, they also should give people with sickle cell N-acetylcysteine. But until they do a drug study and then they turn it into a drug, my concern is that they're going to take L-glutamine off the over-the-counter market because there's now a medicine that's L-glutamine.
Yeah.
And, you know, who would want to... Look, if you were selling a car that was like the best electric car for like $120,000 and somebody was selling it for $5,000 in Mexico and people could just drive across the border and buy it, you would probably want to get President Trump to put like some kind of duty
big tariff.
On that, tariffs.
Big,
on
that, big tariff.
Protect my, you know, $120,000 electric car.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm worried that glutamine may fall victim, you know, to this.
I'm trying to think of what other supplements have been pulled from the market as a result of a pharmaceutical creating something patentable out of it.
It may happen with,
because L-glutamine is using.
There's a type of B6 precursor, which is pyridoxamine.
Thinking L-glutamine is used in hospitals. It's in formulations for tube feeds and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
but not for this use.
Yeah, not
it's
for this
use. It's a use patent. Okay, that's how the system works.
Okay.
Anyway, end of rant because we're going to talk a little more about it. But that's how it works. And that's why our medical system is going to the crapper. Because, I mean, they talk about, what was the name of Pharma Bro? What was the guy who went to jail?
That really narcissistic CEO dude, right?
Right.
I forget his name, but I've got his picture in my head.
Right. Anyway.
Anyway.
The guy who bought up patents and hiked up the prices, on rare drugs.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. It reminds me that time you were ranting on the business model for the pharmaceutical industry.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't a great business model. We need returning customers.
Well, these will be lifelong customers.
Yeah.
At $40,000 a year.
Which is the median income in America. I think it might have recently gone up to $50,000. Imagine that.
A year's worth of Andari costs about $40,515.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Let's have some questions.
Oh, my. Take out your wallets, everybody, if that's if that's what we're doing, right? We've got an email from Karen. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I'm trying to decide between buying an Instapot or a slow cooker. Can you comment on whether one preserves nutrients more than the other, or is it better to just forego those and just cook on the stove?
Okay, well, having gone through this myself recently, I decided to get a slow cooker.
Yeah.
Now, slow cookers, can we describe the difference between a slow cooker and an Instapot?
A slow cooker is a slow cooker. You basically put everything into the pot and it cooks.
It's usually oval shaped or maybe
like
square shaped.
It's basically an
electric crock pot with a timer.
With a timer. And many of them are round, not just oval. Oval one that you're talking about. An Instant Pot is an electric pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. So it does pressure cooking. It's also a slow cooker. It's also a rice maker, a yogurt maker. You could probably fry things in it.
Bread.
It's a bread maker. It does everything.
Right.
It does everything. Now, when it comes to preserving nutrients, cooking low and slow is the best.
Right.
So not necessarily pressure cooking or high heat frying or anything like that.
Right.
A slow cooker is probably the best way in terms of preserving nutrients. The other way would be, steaming your vegetables.
But what about the versatility of the Instapot? Isn't that an advantage?
Yeah, it does, because it's one pot that does all these different things.
Right. However,
and they're not terribly expensive.
All those things
can
be done on a stove or in an oven.
That's true.
So, I mean, I guess for someone
you
who
can
has...
roast your pot, you could roast your chicken for a longer period of time at a lower temperature.
But maybe somebody for like an teensy apartment, who doesn't have like a really good stove or cooktop.
Exactly.
That could be like one appliance that you can use for a lot of things.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you why I got a slow cooker. I got a slow cooker because, I mean,
I love my slow cooker.
Especially in the winter. The summer, I kind of lose it for like long, hot, laborious things.
Yeah, nobody's having soups and stews in the summer,
but
really.
Pretty soon, as the weather changes, I'm going to start, doing it. And, I'll have the broth, and then I'll put in the vegetables, and maybe I'll slow cook a chicken, or I'll, make a dish. And some of these dishes are just delicious. There's so many great recipes.
Mm.
And it's easy because the part that's challenging is gathering the ingredients, cutting them and putting them together.
Yes.
And once you set it, you can set it and forget it. And that's it. Too much of my life is spent grappling with devices. I have enough device. I'm afraid to get a new car. I have a car that's like a 2012 car. I love it because it's still relatively simple.
Yeah.
I do not need to take night courses to figure out how to work my car, the navigation features, and all the different touch pads.
Wait till the car is driving you. Okay.
And you really have to sort of get into a programming. Same thing with like cameras now, TVs, certainly with virtually anything you attempt, like buying an airline ticket. You got to jump through hoops.
Right.
And so I just want less of that in my life. I want something that I turn on, I set the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I at a temperature and I high, low, medium, and walk away.
That's it.
It works for me.
You can assemble your dinner for that evening as you're cleaning up the breakfast dishes or having your breakfast.
Yep.
Go to work and your dinner is ready when you come home.
Right.
That's fabulous.
Right.
That's just fabulous.
Yep.
You could do all your prep work on all that the night before.
Yep.
Keep it all in the fridge, take it all out, put it in your crock pot, add the whatever liquid that your particular recipe may require or not, depending on what it is, and then set it and forget it. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Bam. Yeah.
As he says.
Yeah. I mean, unless you blow a circuit in your home or something, that's not going to happen with a crock pot. But, it's a wonderful thing. And the low and slow cooking.
Right.
The meat is actually more tender.
Mm-hmm.
Things are falling off the bone.
Right. Short ribs I made the other day. I didn't make it with a slow cooker because it was a small amount.
I love short ribs.
Let's see. How did I make the short ribs? I made them with onions and carrots. And I did a lot of Madeira wine and some Worcestershire sauce. Yeah,
it's not like trying to say Glamelgular.
Right. Okay. I thought that we'd forgotten that podcast.
Sorry.
Okay.
PTSD.
No. Right. That was a rough one. Okay. So anyway, my verdict, slow cooker, you know, I just, and this is in considering a lot of devices. It's like, you know, I want to buy like a watch that takes my pulse, you know, while I run.
Mm.
But then I get a watch that gives me like GPS navigation, golf courses, you know, it's like.
But while you're jogging, please turn left here.
Do I need that? It's like too much information. But
yeah.
It does appeal to a different demographic. I think there's some young people who are very okay with that,
mm-hmm.
and they want that, you know, that versatility, that feature. And they comfortably interact with those devices. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, those are like, just to turn the lights on in the house, it's going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you're going to have a Nest, you know, which controls everything in your house.
Nest thermostat is a wonderful thing.
Well,
we've had a Nest thermostat.
But it'll control the lights, it'll control the music.
Oh,
You know, it's
but it gets to know you,
your
temperature.
The shades go up and down.
I would walk by and it would light up and see me.
I would rather walk over to the shades and pull the string.
Yes.
I'm an analog man.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a digital man.
There you go. That's all right. That's okay, too. So Karen, an Instapot has all those different features that you could use it for. Cooking low and slow is best for retaining nutrients. It's also best on the stovetop when cooking your vegetables to steam them.
I think they're a little cheaper, too.
Yeah, I think so. The crock pot? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although the Instapot isn't that much more. I mean, it depends on how many bells and whistles and all.
Yeah, yeah.
How pretty it's going to look on your counter. I don't know. Stuff like that. But, and again, you could also cook at a low temperature for a longer time in your oven.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the ways. And alternatively, vegetables in the microwave,
You can do the same thing in a casserole.
You can, in a casserole. Yeah,
some people like that casserole thing.
Low and slow in a casserole is just fine. So,
which you could do, a casserole could do on the top of the stovetop, on top of the stovetop, right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
or in the oven.
In the oven, basically in a rectangular is your casserole.
Okay.
But if you're doing on top of the stove, like a Dutch oven for pot roast kind of deal, or a sobuco, which is something you're going to cook for hours kind of thing. Good heavy cast iron Dutch oven is also a wonderful thing.
Yeah, my melt off the bones
short ribs
was done in a stainless steel pot with a cover in the oven.
Very nice.
It worked.
Very nice. Yeah. Karen, thank you for your question.
Okay, at this point, let's allow one of our sponsors to share an important message with you. Please listen up.
Did you know that olive oil is at its peak of flavor and nutrition right after it's fresh pressed at harvest time? That's why my favorite olive oil is delivered to me direct from the latest harvest, thanks to the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and as a listener of Intelligent Medicine, you can try a bottle of their finest artisanal olive oil, normally $39, for just $1, with no obligation to buy anything else. I've been enjoying these harvest fresh olive oils for years. They are far and away the brightest, most lively, and flavorful olive oils I've ever tasted. Their antioxidants and polyphenols are off the charts because they're fresh from the harvest. They make store-bought olive oils taste dull and flat by comparison. Taste for yourself. Check out this generous trial offer and get your $39 bottle for a buck with no obligation to buy anything else. Visit myfavoriteoliveoil.com. In my case, it truly is. Myfavoriteoliveoil.com. MyFavoriteOliveOil.com.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And now back to our questions with Layla.
We've got an email from MJ, who is our most enthusiastic fan. Dear Layla and Dr. Hoffman, can you please speak to the benefits of taking either nicotinamide riboside, such as True Niagen, or NT Factor? Don't they both benefit the mitochondria and DNA repair?
Yep.
How can I determine which is best? And here's a little backstory before we dive in.
Sure.
My mother and sister have muscular dystrophy, myotonic type 2. My brother was recently diagnosed with multiple myeloma at age 55.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very healthy and active 59-year-old female, and I've always had good energy. My diet, my lifestyle are in line with your messages. Whereas my family members are not so diligent, to say the least.
Okay.
Apropos
of muscular dystrophy.
Yeah. Wow.
Here's the thing. New article. So the supplement of choice for muscular dystrophy is Neither of those.
Oh.
Not that they may not help.
Drum roll.
Okay. But muscular dystrophy is a hereditary disease. Mm-hmm. N-acetylglucosamine, or NAG.
N-A-G.
N-A-G. I'm so glad I remember that, because all I have to do is go, I think it's NAG, and then I write muscular dystrophy, Google, boom.
Wow.
Article, galectin-3 and N-acetylglucosamine promote myogenesis and improve skeletal muscle function in Duchenne muscular dystrophy.
Hmm.
Okay, well, the galectin-3, that's, you know, probably in the form of a drug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But with the N-acetylglucosamine, they promote muscle genesis.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
So that's the nutrient of choice. Now, forget that for a minute.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, we're talking
Trunigen
about the mitochondria.
Trunigen versus NT factor.
So, NT factor is based on the principle of lipid replacement therapy. It's designed to fortify the cell membrane,
mm-hmm.
Or the lipid bilayer, and, you know, consists of lipids. And it has lipids that are designed
to repair
that.
The phospholipid bilayer, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's basically glycerophospholipids.
Yeah.
And the theory there is that taking that over time will help to repair your membranes. But remember, the mitochondria are little structures within the cell. They themselves have membranes. And along the membranes is where the little assembly line occurs where you make energy.
Hmm.
So to mm-hmm. the extent that your mitochondrial membranes are shot, your mitochondria will be less efficient.
Yeah.
So there's the concept. studies show that in conditions like Gulf War syndrome, which, you know, recovering Middle East veterans suffered from, and also chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, that lipid replacement therapy can be beneficial.
Yeah.
Okay, there are studies by Garth Nicholson. We've talked mm-hmm. to Garth Nicholson on podcasts, and his articles are everywhere to look at. So that's number one.
Okay.
Totally different thing is Trunigen, which is now available on full script, I'm happy to say,
yes.
in two strengths, 125 milligrams and 300 milligrams. I like the 300 milligram twice daily dose, but
that's
it's more
the
expensive.
Higher dose.
More
okay.
expensive. So,
nicotinamide riboside, yeah.
What that does is it makes NADH. And NADH is an energy compound, and we all have declining levels of NADH, especially disease states.
Yeah.
So I think it's on a par with coenzyme Q10. Coenzyme Q10, which supports ATP, which is another energetic compound, and they complement one another.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were really trying to support mitochondria, I would probably take, carnitine.
Yes.
I would probably
ushers the fatty acids into the mitochondria.
I would take NT factor.
Mm-hmm.
I would take
Trunigen.
Trunigen. I would mm-hmm. take certainly ubiquinol.
Yes.
And all these could be beneficial. There's some studies that suggest that creatine could be part of that equation.
Mm.
So
creatine seems to have come back into vogue.
Yeah.
And not just for bodybuilders.
No, for brain too.
Very interesting.
So anyway, so
yeah.
What is Trunigen good for besides just generalized energy? Well, anything.
DNA repair.
Anything that requires
cancer
energy.
Cancer prevention,
neurological disease treatment and prevention.
Yeah.
Anti-aging in general.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's one of those things where you may or may not feel a power surge when you take it, but it's good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for you. I think it needs to be in a lot more different protocols
mm-hmm.
that we have in our categories on full script as well.
And incidentally, you know, coming back to that sickle cell, I know that's a relatively obscure condition for some of our listeners. I don't know how many listeners we have who have relatives or who themselves suffer from sickle cell, but I definitely would take Trunigen if I could as part of my protocol for that, because there's some evidence that what happens is people don't sickle all the time. They have sickling crises.
Yeah.
And what prompts a sickling crisis is maybe altitude.
Mm.
So just a little less oxygen coming to the tissue, and suggests that there's some sort of energetic equation where if you don't get enough
oxygen.
Energy production, the cells sickle.
Yeah.
So if you support the energy production within the cells and provide antioxidants, then the cells are protected from sickling.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. Wow. MJ, thank you for this very, very thoughtful question. Best of luck, good health to your family and yourself.
You know what? Surprisingly, we're out of time for part one.
No kidding.
It's amazing. Time flies when you're having fun. We also did a little bit of a rant at the beginning of this, so we want to answer more questions in part two. So what's coming up?
Is my HDL too high? Is that a risk factor for heart disease?
Okay, wow, that's called a high hanging curveball thrown right into my power zone. I'm going to hit that one out of the park in part two, so stay tuned. But baseball analogies really come easy this time of year, don't they? It's playoff time. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Go Yankees. And this is Intelligent Medicine Podcast.